You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. And now we'll move from coming to terms with death to remembering someone who lived to defy it. It's time for Artery, cultural coverage that you can't escape from.
Ladies and gentlemen, in introducing my original invention, the water torture cell.
That's Harry Houdini in 1914 describing the water torture cell, in which he emerges from an upside-down dunk tank imprisonment. A new exhibit at the Contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco explores the life and legacy of the great escape artist. Brother and sister team Molly and Seth Samuel ducked in to see what the show reveals.
There's a Houdini quote printed on the wall as you enter this gallery at the Contemporary Jewish Museum. It says,
"Will wonders never cease?"
They won't. Not in this show, anyway. It doesn't reveal anything about how Houdini did his tricks.
It does explore why he did them, and what he meant, and actually still means to people.
Dara Solomon is a curator at the museum. She meets us up front for a tour.
Houdini was born in Budapest in Hungary, and he came over to the United States with his family when he was about 4 years old. He was born in 1874.
Houdini's given name was Erich Weiss. The family moved to America when his father, a rabbi, was hired by a synagogue in Wisconsin.
The job didn't pan out, and they ended up in New York. Houdini, some of his brothers, and his dad started working in a factory.
The magic part's coming soon, don't worry.
Yeah, soon. Here's Dara Solomon.
He very early, as legend goes, was interested in performing, doing backyard performances, and also interested in locks and unlocking things that people would lock up, and he would, you know, surprise them and be able to open the locks.
Was he a lawbreaker? Why did he like locks?
No, I think like his mother would like lock up like pies, and he would be able to like unlock the boxes that they were in.
When he was 7, Erich saw a trapeze artist perform at a traveling circus and immediately decided that he was going to be a trapeze artist.
And not too long after, Erich, Prince of the Air, was a trapeze artist at the age of 9 for the Jack Heffler 5-cent circus.
And in 1894, at the age of 20, he joined the Welsh Brothers Circus.
His colleagues included a Japanese balancing act, strongmen, sword swallowers, contortionists, and it was there that he really perfected one of his most famous acts.
This is one of the trunks that he would have used in the metamorphosis trick.
The metamorphosis trick. Houdini did this one with his wife, Bess. His hands are tied behind his back. He gets into a big sack, which is tied shut. The sack, with Houdini in it, is put into a trunk, which is then securely locked.
Bess stands on the trunk and closes a curtain in front of her. She claps 3 times. On the 3rd clap, the curtain opens to reveal not Bess, but Houdini. Bess is tied up inside the sack, which is inside the locked trunk.
Still just a basic big old wooden trunk.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the appeal, that these everyday objects that he turned into spectacles.
How did he do it?
Magicians never reveal their secrets, and this exhibit doesn't either. The show does showcase other things Houdini escaped from. A milk can, a collection of handcuffs, a straitjacket.
These aren't necessarily everyday objects to everyone.
But they're not inherently magical or rare things either.
We wander over to a silent video showing one of Houdini's escapes in front of a huge crowd.
So he's standing on top of this metal bridge. The policemen are fitting his handcuffs on. All right, we see him, white trunks, climbing up.
There's actually people hanging all over the bridge just to watch it happen. And there he goes.
Splash.
he just jumped into the water, disappears, and like 4 seconds later, he's back out of the water. No handcuffs.
Handcuffs off. Just immediately.
He was iconic because his magic was good. His escapes were death-defying.
Joe Pond owns Misdirection's Magic Shop near Golden Gate Park.
I've been doing magic since I was a kid, and Houdini is actually one of my big heroes. When you say magic, right away you think of Houdini. In the dictionary, he actually is in the Webster's Dictionary, Houdini. Look him up. But I just love Houdini.
He loves Houdini.
Anpon says he's not the only one.
Because everybody wants to be Houdini, not just magicians. David Copperfield, Doug Henning, David Blaine, Chris Angel. We all want to be like that. But not just that, but everyone else in the world. Michael Jackson, Madonna. If you think about it, he is iconic to magic. And everybody who is a showman or a show person wants to study the art of being Houdini.
Pon loves magic because it creates a different reality. And that was important in Houdini's day.
During that era, it was the Depression. He is the working man, the guy who's trying to break through the chains.
People crave distraction from their daily problems, the same way they do now. Houdini made their lives more magical.
Back at the Contemporary Jewish Museum's exhibition, there's a black and white photograph of a city street blown up to billboard size. There's an enormous crowd, and they're all looking at Harry Houdini, hanging high above them, upside down, in a straitjacket.
Where is he? There he is.
He's at the very, very top of the mural. It's a humongous mural.
The street is totally filled. It looks like Times Square. Curator Dara Solomon says the picture was taken in
Providence, Rhode Island. And it's unbelievable how many people are there.
It must be the entire population of Rhode Island.
That's what we were just saying. It really seems that way. And they're just all out. Everyone has a hat and coat. So really, you know, you get this real sense of the period. Thousands of people would come out and watch him because they didn't have TVs. This was a time when you would go out on the street to see a spectacle.
Solomon says that kind of public spectacle is less common today. Though we might still need it.
We're so used to, you know, being entertained in our homes or in a theater, but to see this on the street, it's way more powerful, I think.
The big crowd photo reveals something else about Houdini. He wasn't just an escape artist. He was also a master of self-promotion. Anytime he came to a new city, he'd perform his stunts in front of the newspaper building, guaranteeing himself some free advertising.
And he did just that in San Francisco in 1923.
He did the straitjacket escape in front of the Hearst building at Market and Third, just right around the corner.
The straitjacket escape. Houdini is strapped into a regulation straitjacket. His arms are firmly crossed across his chest, and the straitjacket's long sleeves are buckled shut at the ends and tied tightly behind his back. He's hoisted up by his ankles and hung upside down from a building. He squares his shoulders.
And then the wriggling starts.
He's got to get one of his arms above his head.
He accomplishes that somehow, and now his arms are free somehow, but his hands aren't. They're still buckled in their sleeves.
So he unbuckles them with his teeth.
His hands now free, Houdini takes off the straitjacket just as easily as a raincoat. Houdini died in 1926 at the age of 52.
He spent the last years of his life debunking people who claimed to have psychic powers.
But that did not mean he lost his own air of mystery.
He picked the best day to die on, too.
Halloween.
There were more than 2,000 mourners at his funeral.
He escaped a life in obscurity and poverty and allowed others a chance to escape the everyday. In San Francisco, I'm Molly Samuel.
And I'm Seth Samuel for Cross Currents.